You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
This is the Sawn Outdoors Podcast. Another week. It's been 2 weeks since our last podcast, and we couldn't be more excited to release this week's episode. This week's episode features Sawyer Peacock. He's a local Utah boy, born and raised, just an all-around good dude. Sawyer talks a lot about in this podcast choosing your own adventure. That's kind of like the whole theme of this podcast. Sawyer used to work for the man, quote-unquote the man, and then decided one day that he was tired of it and wanted to be in charge of his own life and his own destiny, wanted to hunt when he wanted to, and didn't want anyone telling him what to do besides his wife. So this is a great podcast if you've ever been interested in starting your own thing. Sawyer has several small businesses himself, and we talk about those in this podcast a little bit. And we also talk about a lot of his adventures abroad. You're just going to have to tune in. You don't want to miss this. Sawyer's a funny guy, has some great stories. And we're going to have Sawyer back on a podcast in the future with some of his friends. They do some insane things like we talk about in the podcast. So check it out. Listen to us. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review and leave some comments. Give us some ideas for some future podcasts that you'd like to hear. We had a great response at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo from a bunch of new hunters that want to learn some of the basics from shooting rifles and whatnot. And we're actually going to have some future episodes about some of that stuff. So if there's anything you want to hear about specifically, please message us. You can message us on Instagram. That's probably the best way, so we make sure we see it. Just send us a direct message. As always, this podcast is concealed in Kings. Kings Camo, like we mention every time, focuses on performance, pattern, and price. These guys nail it every time. Every time they come out with a new piece of gear, I'm just stoked. I want to talk about a piece I actually haven't gotten my hands on, but I'm very excited to get my hands on, to get a hold of it and wear it and try it out, especially with spring shed hunting and turkey hunting quickly approaching. And this piece is the XKG Series Elevation Quarter Zip Tee, and they just recently came out with three solid colors. They have a dark charcoal, olive drab, and then this really cool steel blue. It's just like perfect for you fly fishermen or guys that just don't want to wear camo. Of course, it always comes in the desert shadow, mountain shadow, and real tree edge patterns. So jump on to kingscamo.com, add a couple of these to your cart. I'm going to add a couple right now, and use our discount code SAHN when you check out. You'll save yourself 15%. That's pretty dang good savings right there. And if you find any sale items that you're interested in, throw those to your cart and you'll save an additional 15% off the already heavily discounted price. So thanks to Kings Camo. They are truly a great company to work with. They have been very supportive of us and what we do. So we can't thank the guys over there enough. We had Andrew, the marketing manager, with us over in Colorado this last fall. We've gone on several shed hunts together. I took he and his buddy from Minnesota on a spike elk archery hunt here in Utah. Didn't make it happen. I was a terrible guide, but we still had a lot of fun. So if you are in Utah or you ever pass through, stop in at their retail outlet there off the freeway, off of I-15 down in Linden, Pleasant Grove area. You can get your hands on their gear. They also have their items in many retail stores, but I highly advise you to stop into the retail store if you ever get the chance and talk to these guys in person. They are fantastic people, and I'm just blabbering now, but honestly, they're great. So without further ado, here is episode 31, Choose Your Own Adventures with Sawyer Peacock. Well, let's get this party started.
Sure.
We're sitting here at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo 2019. This feels weird to say,
even though
it's been 2019 for over a month. We got Sawyer Peacock in the booth.
Yes, sir.
How are you, man?
Good, man. Been busy and been having some fun. And
yeah, I'll say you've been
busy. Things around. Yeah.
Right on.
Been good.
Tell us about Sawyer. Who is Sawyer? Give us your best sales pitch.
Best sales pitch, man. I'm not very good at sales pitches.
It's not a dating.
I don't know
it's
who
not
would,
a dating website.
Yeah, I don't know
Let's
who would buy, which, but I can try.
This is your elevator pitch for you.
Exactly. 30-second elevator pitch. Sawyer Peacock. Sawyer Peacock's born and raised here in Utah. Started the self-employment life about 4 years ago into the hunting industry.
What were you doing before?
I was a nursing aide. I was wiping butts for a living, man. And I loved it, dude. I really did. Like, that was a very fulfilling job, like, getting to work with people. I worked anywhere. I managed group homes of kids that were disabled and in trouble, anywhere from 14 and then on up. And then I ended up working in rest homes where people had less than 3 months to live, kind of situations like that.
Absolutely.
So I've worked from the start to the end of people's lives in the healthcare. And it was very fulfilling and it was fun, but it was just hours away from my family that I wanted to be doing with my family. And I wanted
more.
To do something in the outdoor industry and stuff like that. And now that, I'm in here, I wouldn't change it for the world. And it's been a cool ride.
That's awesome. So. I think a lot of people are jealous of people that break away from the mundane 9-to-5, whatever have you, you know, the working for the man type of thing and going and following their dreams.
For sure.
But really, anybody could do it.
Oh,
right?
Dude, I mean, it's all it takes is an idea, right? Like, and it takes growing on top of that idea. And like, people always ask me, like, where do I start? And I'm like, well, that's what you have to do is just start. Like, when I started...
Is that the hardest part?
Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, it's like you literally feel like you're stepping off a cliff. Like, I remember walking away. I actually got fired from my last job. I was doing a little... I just finished doing some nursing, and I had, like, a lull time of where I was finishing college, and I didn't want to get a new nursing job because it takes a lot of training on their part. So I was like, well, I'm going to go paint houses. You know, it was something quick I could do for a couple months. And one day, my boss just texts me, and he's like, hey, man... Don't bother coming in tomorrow. Like,
oh,
and I was
gosh.
Like, and I knew like we were friends and we're still friends, but it was because like I was gone hunting so much. And I told him when I got this job, I says, man, I'll work for you. You know, he needed some help. I says, but I'm going to have to go hunting when I want to go hunting. He's like, okay. Well, like, I don't think he meant like
every day.
It was going to be every day, right? Yeah. So he's like, Dad, you just don't bother coming in. So that was like literally the last job I had and I got fired from it. Which is fine.
It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was fired.
Yeah, I was gone a lot. Like,
I'd fire myself.
Yeah. So, yeah. I kind of just took a leap, and I started in the antler buying world. I met Steve Sorensen when I was up at college, just through some sheds for Santa and stuff like that. So, took a leap with him, and I've done that now for 4 years. So I do that 3 months out of the year, and then I have just a couple small businesses on the side that kind of get me through. A production company, I own just Peacock Productions, and then I contract out to the Experience YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And they take me on some pretty wild adventures, and when I'm not doing that, I'm printing t-shirts and putting them in a Threads box and own a subscription box company, and that's it's been going good. We've been growing, and that's a year old today, and so it's
congrats.
Cool to watch that. Thank
that
you.
Is cool.
It's cool
that
to watch
awesome.
It. Go and I mean, just walking around this expo. Like, I see people wearing shirts that we've printed. I'm like, that's satisfying.
That is cool, right?
You guys do a lot of custom
stuff.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So is what we try to do is we try to do like limited edition kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, at least one shirt per box. It's like a limited edition. Like you can only get it here in the box.
Right.
So we try to do that. So it's cool to walk around and see stuff. That,
you like, definitely recognize things that you've done.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fun. It's cool and it's interesting and it's been good. My parents own a silk screening business. It's been good because I can give them a lot of business, keep them going, and it's been fun because I get to take my little girl with me every single day to work, you know. So, and she loves it. She loves to pack boxes. She draws on everybody's. Everybody gets a box, has some drawing on it, you know. So it's cool. It's fun, and it's fun to, like, I mean, it is a lot of hours,
yeah.
You know. I mean, 40 hours stops on Wednesday, but and the rest continues. But it's fun because my girl gets to be there with me, and it's kind of a family ordeal, so it's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how many businesses do you own?
Peacock Productions, Outdoors Threads Box. And my antler buying. Three. And then I own a nonprofit, so four. Non-profit. So I have four total.
Dude, you're a busy feller.
It's interesting. I've got a friggin' awesome wife.
That was coming next.
Yeah, that was like, going to be the next question.
Man,
yeah.
and being self-employed, your wife is like the most important key. And like, bless her heart, she works her butt off. She's got an amazing job and that she loves. Thank heavens, and she works for an amazing company. But that was like a key factor in the first couple of years getting things going.
Yeah.
It was like having a very supportive wife, and it still is a key factor. But like being able to like be, let me chase what I wanted to, because some of my ideas are a little off the wall. You know, like, hey, I'm going
to
go.
You have to be innovative,
right? And somebody coming from someone that wasn't a hunter, when I said, hey, I'm going to go buy antlers for a living, she's like, the hell?
What?
You know, you're going to buy antlers? Yeah. She's like, I thought you just put those on my wall. And I was like, well, I do, but I'm going to go buy more of them, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, she's been super supportive, like never second guess me. She just says, you know, it'll work out. She'll always just says, yeah, I know you. You'll make it work.
That's cool.
So,
it's awesome to have that trust.
Yeah, Last year we talked to Mark Smith, Muley Slayer.
Yes.
And in that podcast, he talked about any relationship going. Everyone says, like, you got to get 50-50, right? And he talks about 100-100.
Yep.
And it's like this whole nother concept.
Yep.
And
blew our minds.
Kind of sounds like,
yeah, we both put in, like, I mean, and every day, like, bless her heart, this weekend, she's by herself. I mean, it's Valentine's Day.
Taking care
of two kids and working a full-time job. Like, it's insane. But she does it, and she doesn't complain, and she just keeps saying, go. You'll get it.
That's awesome.
You know, and over, it's, I mean, the self-employed life kind of continues to grow, obviously, you know, and we look for more things and we start more businesses and try to bring things in. But like the last year has really been like, okay, we're finally like starting to dial this in a little bit, you know, because the first little while you're like, man, you guess yourself, you're like, how long can I sustain this? Is it worth it? How long can I, you know, go? And then like the last year's been like, cool, we got this. Like, we'll make it.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
You're self-reliant.
Yeah.
Completely self-reliant.
Yeah.
Everything's so awesome.
Everything's on us.
That's awesome to be that. My wife actually 2 weeks ago at church was like writing, scribbling something down. I'm like, what is she writing down? Start small business.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
And, the other day, and that's where it starts, right?
Well, she's like, I want to start a small business. I was like, well, what are you passionate about? She's like, I don't know, but I want to do one. And so then all these random ideas are flying. I'm like on your wife's end. Like, I'm just like, whoa.
Sawn Outdoors looking for a marketing director.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I'm just like, I'm like comfortable, right? I'm not.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know what? We have a paycheck from you.
Yeah.
Paycheck from me.
Insurance.
We're good. And she's like, yeah, but her motivation is, well, when we have kids, I want to be home.
Exactly.
And so she's like, I don't want to open up a storefront. She's like, but I want to do something online. And so she's trying to figure it out. And I'm just over here holding my breath.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's kind of like, I can't do it unless I have your support. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. You know, and what's so cool in this day and age, like, literally you can make money at anything.
Yeah.
You can, if you find something and perfect it and market it and you're a good person and people like you, you'll make money at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are like, well, I just like to play video games. I'm like, well, guess what? There's a dude on making, you know, playing
YouTube
that whatever
channel.
Game. YouTube channel, he's making millions a year.
Yeah.
Be good at it. Be, you know, be a good person.
Connect with people.
Yeah. And you'll make money.
Yeah.
Like, so you can do it. Like, do anything.
I know.
So it's cool.
I think for me personally, it's like taking that leap of faith. Like,
it's sketchy.
Can I step off that ledge? Because I don't know. Like, the unknown freaks people out.
I always say, like, my wife was behind me holding the rope in case I fell flat on my face off the cliff. You know,
that's
like,
because, awesome.
And it cool is. Like, she
I need
had
to find a wife with a job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, so she's, like, been, like, a massive. And honestly, like, without her, I wouldn't have been able to just been like, hey, I'm just going to go do this self-employed thing. You know, like, it's nice. And she keeps me grounded to be like, hey, that idea, little off the wall. Let's tone it down to here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a better idea. Let's do that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I had a guy tell me the other day, hey, listen, bankruptcy isn't like it used to be. It's not as scary. And I'm like,
it's only 7 years of credit failure.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's like, listen, you can recover. He's like, live your dreams. And I was like,
my dream is to not be bankrupt.
My dream is to be successful. He's like, yeah, but what if your idea flops? He's like, people are going to make fun of you, do whatever. He says, but at least you had the courage to do it.
See, and when I start something, I mean, and I know none of this is hunting related, but like I try to do it to where if I flop, I'm not like out, right? Like,
right.
So I start businesses that are like a low overhead. You know, I mean, obviously you're going to have something to start a business. It costs something. But to the point where I'm like not betting like, oh, I'm either going to be a millionaire or I'm going down. Like I don't, I try to do it to they're like pretty, you know, I mean, only 25 years old, like. Where they're pretty financially smart to where I'm not just going to lose everything.
Right.
You know, like even if my box business today, if everybody stopped subscribing, like all of a sudden they were all gone, I'm still not out anything because I don't have overhead in that, right?
Right.
You know, like it's a month-to-month kind of a deal. So I like, and I tell people that, like, well, I want to get into it. I'm like, well, just start something that you're not going to lose your ass end on if you go, you know, over tea kettle.
Yeah. So what on this idea... I'm asking this specifically because my wife's idea.
Yeah.
Would you say come up with a smart idea? Or, and it probably is a little bit of both. Or do you come up with a very innovative, unique idea? Which one is more successful?
Both. I mean, it matters how you market it. Dude, I mean, you can sell a turd on eBay if you market it, right?
It's true.
So,
Looks like it's Jesus.
Yeah. You can do anything. So, yeah, I mean, both, like selling t-shirts in a box, I wouldn't. When I first started it, I'm like, yeah, my friends will sign up, you know, and then I started giving, and I was like, you know, if I market this right, and if I, you know, connect with people and put cool things in, like, it might actually work. And then I'm like, well, there's 14 million hunters in the United States, licensed hunters, like, every single one of them throughout their lives is going to buy a hunting t-shirt. Why can't I sell it to all 14 million?
Yeah. That'd be crazy.
I never heard that number before.
Yeah. There's
14 million.
I mean, Pennsylvania has 1 million bow hunters alone, you know. So yeah,
I need to start making bowstrings.
Yeah.
We should do an outdoor threads box in Pennsylvania before he gets there.
Exactly.
Cut him off.
Exactly.
Call it outdoor shirts box.
Pennsylvania box.
Pennsylvania box.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's either one of those. I mean, just be smart about it, but also be unique.
Cool.
Do you have any plans to start any other businesses? Any?
We've got a few things in the works. Me and my partner are just kind of building some pages and stuff right now. Going to kind of look more into the Midwest. Maybe like a few more like product specific boxes, or like, I don't know, like a whitetail box.
Yeah.
Be getting whitetail stuff or
Midwest.
Yeah.
And windshield scraper.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a jacket right now too. So, you know, just like, just, yeah, we're just going to, once we perfect our marketing scheme now and make sure that it works and that it goes, we'll just see what else takes us. And I mean, business ideas, when I started this, I literally just thought of the idea. I was out at ATA and just like clicked in my head. And I'm like, well, why don't I do this? And a week later, the website was rolling. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be something you think about forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's whatever pops in my head in the next little while, we'll start it.
That's awesome.
See how it goes.
I shouldn't say I'm jealous because I could do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am.
I'm freaking jealous of the guy that invented the, you know, sticky note. He's making more money than me, and WD-40. I'm like, I could have invented that. You know, paperclip, come on, man.
Jeez.
You know, and
the potty golf.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so much stuff, and I'm like, you guys are freaking genius.
Yeah,
you know,
there are those weird little things like that
that are just
once someone comes up,
and you're like, I knew that.
Yeah,
it was gonna work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many people have came up to me like, man, I thought of that idea for 2 years. I'm like, well, I thought of it for a week, and I started it. That's the biggest thing.
And that's the difference,
yeah.
You,
in fact,
took an
idea. I made a post the night I thought of it. I was just like kind of gathering some information, like, hey, would you guys be interested? And my friend, thank heavens, Justin Wagner from Texas, called me, and he said, man, friend of friend, get that off social media right now. I says, why? And he goes, somebody has thought of that idea, and they're going to take it. Don't post it until you've patented it and trademarked and got it going.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're the man. And how many people I've had said, man, I was working on an idea like that. I was going to do that. And I'm like,
but
just
you didn't.
Do it. Just got to do it.
That's the
just
you were
gonna,
I did it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Just got to start.
It's that leap of faith to jump off that bridge or that cliff, like you're saying, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's the part people get jealous about.
Yeah.
Not that you're successful at it, really, but just but that you had the guts to do it. And
Yeah, and it was a slow process, man. I mean, I didn't take, like, a running full sprint off the cliff.
Sure.
You know, like, I eased my way into it, figured out, oh, I can make some paychecks here, I can do this. If things get slow, I'll have this as a back. Like, it was a pretty slow process, but the cliff still did come to an abrupt end. You know, okay, now it's time, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get, psych yourself up, get as ready as possible to jump off that cliff.
You know, and I've always got backups, right? Like, I mean, I've, you know, been to school, and I can go back to work if I need to and things like that, but I don't ever want to.
Right.
Rather no reason to if you just doing. Keep thinking, driving forward.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Talk to me about, we're going to switch gears
Let's do it.
Talk to me about these trips you're doing with the experience. You and Dallas and Jason Price.
Yeah.
Yep. You guys are going all over the freaking world, dude.
We are.
And hunting crazy stuff in crazy places.
Yeah. I mean, some stuff I have to Google because I don't know what they are, man.
How in the heck did this all get started?
So, kind of with the leap of going self-employed, I mean, I was sitting at, we lived in an apartment up in Cache Valley as I was going to school, and I found, well, a outdoor channel had reached out to me maybe through email marketing or something. And I was like, hey, you know, get a TV show on our channel. And I'm like, well, yeah, everybody does TV shows at hunts. Like, let's do it. I have no film background. I have nothing at this point. And they were like, hey, it's only $10,000. And I was like, what, I have to pay you? You know, I'm like, hey, well, I'll come up with it. Don't worry. And I bought a camera off KSL that night for $250, had them ship it to me. I mean, and I'm like, well, yeah, I'm just going to film my hunts and we'll have a hunting show. Like, it's that easy. You know, people will pay me. Let's do it. So I do this hunting show, or I get this camera, and it literally doesn't even have a record button. It's a picture camera. Like, you can't record with it. And I'm like, oh, that was really stupid.
Stop motion?
But like, that was, yeah, like, that was my $250. And my wife's like, that's what you can spend. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So then I started taking wedding pictures. You know, just, I was like, well, I can, you know, learn how to use this, and I can save up money and I'll buy a new camera and then I'll go to the hunting show.
Yeah.
You know, I was obsessed with being on TV. Wanted to have a hunting show on TV. And I mean, mind you, this is four or five years ago at this point. And so started taking pictures, learned my camera, watched YouTube in and out, figured out my settings, became fairly proficient with it, and bought, you know, some video cameras. And I'm like, okay, now how do I do this hunting thing? And then right around then, Dallas Haymeyer called me and he's like, dude, I need you to film a hunt. Like, I know you're decent with a camera. Come with me. It's a last minute in Canada. We're going mountain goat hunting. Like, can
Honey,
you leave?
Can I go?
Yeah.
Canada?
Like, can you leave this week? And I'm like, you don't even have a passport. And he's like, we'll go get one. So I expedited a passport in 2 days, got it.
Holy crap.
And we took off. And I mean, I'd been messing around with the camera. I'd, you know, been on Devin Leonard's elk hunt, which is now a viral hunt. And I'd been on an Ibex hunt in the Floridas with Devin and stuff like that. So, like, it'd been slowly progressing to where Dallas had been like, okay, this kid, you know, at least knows how to hit record. So I went up with Dallas, and we had an amazing hunt with, which is now one of my best friends, Ryan Berard, Sawtooth West Outfitters in BC, and we killed a giant billy on literally the last morning, last hour, like one of those hunts that you just remember for the rest of your life. Yeah. I passed out on the mountain, spent like 4 days in the hospital. Like,
yeah,
just,
I remember
like
that story.
A crazy experience. You know, like, I was so out of shape. I got pneumonia. Like, it was just bad, you know,
wow.
But it's one of those hunts you're like, I will remember
country.
That. Yeah, I will remember that for the rest of my life.
And it's fun, though, looking back, right?
Oh, I'd do it again.
Yeah.
You know,
you
I would
have a
do
cool
it again
story.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
I almost died hunting.
Exactly.
Another
you know, and it's
country.
On film. You know, like they're filming me. I just look like a ghost laying there, you know. And just, so that's where it all kind of started. Dallas had already made the connection with Jason Price, who, again, now is one of my best friends. And at about that time, they were starting the experience. So the experience is coming up on a little over a year old now, YouTube channel. And I was kind of opened my eyes to the digital world. And in between this, I'd done a little bit of filming for Hush and some other YouTube channels, like Chad and those guys. And so I'd had my eyes open to like this digital world instead of TV. So I was being pulled away from the TV side of it and put into the digital side. And then Jason just kind of brought me on, like, arms in, like, hey, dude, let's go. Like, I trust you. You know, he's never, like, questioned my abilities. Like, let's just go. And so we started booking these hunts. And our goal is to show, like, the true – that's why we named it The Experience. Like, we want to show the true experience of international hunting,
Dude, it's a perfect name.
Yeah, I mean, it fits because cool, how many times you're like, man, it's not about the antlers, it's about the experience. And I'm like, yeah, that's us. You know? Like, yeah, yeah. So the name just stuck.
Yeah, and think about all the crazy stuff, like almost dying, yeah, having pneumonia, yeah, like sliding down some rock cliff.
Exactly.
It's all part, like, of the story, just some, other people the might story, cut out.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, so, like, we want to try to show that, and we can always do a better job. I mean, there's always more that we can add, and we try our hardest, but it's like, I mean, not many people in their lives are going to go to Kyrgyzstan and sleep in a cave that's negative 20 for 8 days living off Snicker bars. You know, and, like, we want to show that.
How does that even, like, come to fruition? I'm so, curious in that.
Like, I didn't even
know
where
Kyrgyzstan. Snicker bars into the country?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Where is it?
So Kyrgyzstan is over, it borders China and maybe, like, Iran or, I don't know, somewhere over there. Like,
okay.
In Kazakhstan, we, you know, yeah, we drove through. They're all the stands. Yeah, you're just over there, right?
Yeah.
So Jason says, hey, man, we're going to go hunt an ibex. And ibex are absolutely one of my favorite animals. They're just a badass critter. You know, it's just a goat that can literally go anywhere. And yeah, they're so cool. So it's like, we're going to go head over to Kyrgyzstan. We've got this ibex. We'll be hunting. I believe it was the mid-Asian ibex, yeah, that we were chasing around there. There's so many subspecies. And he goes, it's a 10-day trip. We'll be staying in some cabins. Shouldn't, you know, it's going to be hard hiking. Any goat hunt is a hard hike, obviously. Right. They live at the top, and it'll be cold, so dress warm and bring a sleeping bag. And that's pretty much the info I had, you know. So we booked the flights. We land, and it starts off with an ass-kicker of a 14-hour drive. Like, after you land of a 15-hour flight, and you're like, all right, let's go. And so we drive and drive and drive. And you're in a foreign country, and it's not anything like you see in the movies in the stands. Like, you know, you're not getting shot at by RPGs. It's not anything like that, but it's still, like, kind of have an eerie feeling, I guess. It's just somewhere new,
so foreign,
you know,
yeah,
but, like, I'd have that same feeling in L.A., right? Like, so
sometimes I get that in,
yeah,
Salt Lake.
Exactly. So, like, we get to our camp, pretty nice house / lodge. Nobody speaks a lick of English. We have some dinner. And we wake up, and they says, okay, we're going on the horses. We'll see you in 5, 6, 7 days whenever you kill. Like, all right. So we hop on the horses. We're told we're going to a cabin. There will be solar there, like, all this kind of stuff. So hop on, and we ride. And we're told it's like a 2-hour ride. 7 hours later, we're just still trudging through a big avalanche slide basin, and it's just going, never ending. And I'm like, we got to be touching China by now. You know, like, yeah, we're almost there. And they pull up. Put us inside this cave. It was literally a rock, kind of an undercut, and they build up some rocks around to kind of help the wind. And through the little broken English, I was like, hey, where's the house? They're like, no house, cave. Well, thought we were coming to house. They're like, no, cave, cave. I'm like, sweet, there's no trees, there's no firewood.
You think you're going to die at this point?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like a murder.
Yeah, I just remember looking at Jason. I'm like, man, I hope you shoot an ibex first thing in the morning. You know, like, let's. And
this could be really
so
rough.
We set up in this cave. Jason looks up 800 yards. There is a monster billy. And I'm like, wow. And we're like, confusion. You know, we're telling him, hey, let's go shoot this. And they're like, no, too late. And we saw a good half hour light. And like, too late. We'll get him tomorrow. He'll be this low. I mean, it's low on the mountain. Mm-hmm. Like, scary low. And I'm like, man, I don't feel good about leaving that thing. So we left him. And we wake up, pull up the spotter, nowhere to be found, right? And they're like, okay, let's go. So we take horses on a place that you should never take a horse. And we get to the top of this mountain to where the horses would go. And they point at the very tippy top. There's that billy. And it's like, game on, let's go. So we hiked and ended up shooting two billies that day. We had two tags, so we got one, was able to go back, retrieve the next one. The next day it was in too bad of a spot for us to, like, literally physically get to. I remember coming out the night, we'd already just got the one billy, chased through snow and hell and breakfast all day long, and, like, I've never been that scared in my life, because it was the steepest mountain I'd ever been on, loose, slick ice. And Jason, who is an absolute mountain goat as well, turned around to me and he said, dude, I don't feel like we should be here. Like, and that's the first time he's ever, like, we've been to foreign countries everywhere, right? Yeah. And he's always just optimistic and looking around. He goes, man, I don't feel like we should be in this spot right now. But we didn't have an option. Like, we can't go back.
Yeah, what do you
it's
do?
Just as sketchy. The only way is forward, you know. And I remember in the video, I'm like, dude, I'm going down to the bottom of the riverbed, and I will walk out there. And he's like, but dude, what if there's a cliff? Like, you're stuck there, and you couldn't make it back up. Oh, I mean, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Like, I was literally,
Panicky situation.
And it's getting dark, yeah. And of course, and this is my own fault. Like, you're in charge of your own water, you know, and nobody else. But they said, no, leave your backpacks here. We'll bring your water. Well, the backpacks got left, so I'm 8 hours without water. We're dehydrated. Oh, the rivers are frozen. We have nothing to drink. They kept saying, do not eat the snow. Like, something was in the snow. You can't eat it. So we're just dehydrated and in a bad position, you know. I just remember being on the side of a cliff, and Jason said, man, you need to get eight feet higher or you're in trouble. And I just remember, like, I don't know if I can get that 8 feet. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, so I get the 8 feet, and then we were able to work our way off the mountain and got back to the horses. As soon as I get on the horse, my horse steps in, like, a gopher hole or whatever's on the side of the mountain, and, like, leg is shot. And they're like, no, keep riding. And, you know, I've been around animals a long time. And I'm like, no, I'm not riding this thing. Like, I feel guilty. And they're like, you're 5 miles from the truck. I'm like, or from the cave. And I'm like, I don't care how far we are. I'm not going to ride this horse out of here. You know, first off, because we're still on a steep mountain. Like, my horse needs to be 100%, not 10.
Yeah, right.
So I walk my way off. It's pitch black. We get back to the cave. We're just kind of beat, you know. And I'm like, hey, what's for dinner? And we had some dehydrated meals. And so we boil some water. We didn't bring jet boils because we were told we were going to be in a house. Well, and you can't take them into foreign countries.
Yeah.
But there's no sticks. So we're like breaking like grass up off the ground to burn it to boil this water. And like little tiny brush sticks to get this water boiled. Boil it, put it in the thing, and then we let them sit the 10, 15 minutes. We go to open it up, start to eat it, and it's raunchy. Like, terribly bad.
Rancid.
Well, is what was happening is we're averaging from about -10 to -21 degrees all the time. Just stayed there the whole time. And it was too cold for the water to do anything. And, you know, as soon as we'd be done boiling and put it in the packs, it'd almost freeze.
Oh,
so
man.
The food wasn't being cooked. And just like you physically, like, it was starving, but you couldn't get past the taste and the grittiness. Like, you just couldn't eat it,
yeah.
Right? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So we ate a Snickers bar. They have Snickers bar. Every country has Snickers bar. It's the best thing on earth, right? And I don't eat Snickers bars in the U.S., but I'll eat the hell out of Snickers bar anywhere else.
In a -20K?
Yeah, so we got Snickers bars. We had 4 king-size Snickers bars, so it comes with, like, 2 regular ones inside of it. And it's just me and Jason. And these guides are, like, next level. I don't even know what they were eating. They had, like, some, like, a sriracha fish paste in a can, and they were like, just eat. And we both, of course, just start gagging immediately, you know, like, like rancid sardines soaked in sriracha sauce, just like something terrible that nobody should eat, especially in a foreign country on the side of the mountain. Like, I'm not trying that, you know. I'm far away from any ocean.
Yeah,
like, I'm not eating that. It can't be fresh. So we lived off those Snicker bars. We ended up staying in the cave for like maybe another 4 days, just circumstances of trying to get the Billy back off the mountain in a bad spot. And then, you know, you wait a day, give the horses rest, go back. And we literally ate Snicker bars. And
thank goodness for Snickers.
It's tough because, like, the light, you know, we're so far up in the world, whatever. I don't know what it was. But the sun doesn't come over the top of you. It's like Alaska. It just kind of hovers
the
skyline. Mm. So it's only light for a little while. And so then you're just stuck, and it's too cold. Like, you don't have a fire, so you're not going to sit out by the fire. It's too cold to sit just out and talk with people, so you just have to be in your sleeping bag. So for 15 hours a day, you're just sitting in the sleeping bag, right? Like,
sounds horrible.
Like, just don't know what to do. You know, the hunting's over, but we don't really – can't go back yet. And it's like you're just sitting there, and you're so
– stuck in misery.
Cold, man. And I remember I had two – shows on my phone, and it was Fast and Furious and 13 Hours. And I have both of those memorized to the T, because I'll bet I watch them 5 times a day. Like, there's just nothing else to do, right? And we couldn't talk with our guides. They didn't speak English. So it was just me and Jason, and we would just sit there and watch shows all day.
Jeez.
And, you know, until, of course, all the batteries are dead because it's so cold, and then we're just done. And we just wait. And then the last morning, I'm like, why are we not eating Ibex meat? You know, we've got this Ibex. You're like, I'm starving. And they're like, we'll cook some. And so I wake up. They've got their little tiny grass fire going, boiling some water. And I go over there, and I'm like looking in this pot, and they're just boiling this like slab of something off the Ibex. I'm like, what are you guys doing? and they pointed to their groin area, and it registered with me that they're boiling this Ibex dick.
Oh, my
for
gosh.
Breakfast. And then they, like, cut it and put it on a spoon for me. And they're like, eat, And I'm like, no. Like, I'm fine. And they were like, no, eat, make you strong. And I'm like, I don't need to be strong. Man. Like, I'm fine, you know. So that was the only meat we were offered for that 5 days.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Like, that's something I'll never forget.
How many days do you think it would have taken before you took a bite?
I was getting pretty close, man.
Yeah,
I was getting pretty close.
Maybe 5.5 days.
Yeah, I mean, you burn a lot of calories when it's cold, dude. And like,
Winter's
I was
bars only replace so much.
Yeah, like I was getting pretty close to that. Like it was, you know, by the end of the day, it might have been pretty appetizing.
Yeah,
I was starting to like tip over rocks for grubs or something. I don't know.
You guys got any more of that?
Any more Ibex dick laying around? No. So like, it was. That's like one of the
Give
cool ones. Bit. Yeah. Those foreign countries are just always fun to. Go explore, see new things. Azerbaijan's probably my favorite hunt as far as like a foreign country. Just the culture was cool. The people were cool. The mountains were beautiful. They were a total ass kicker. It was like a 9 or 10 hour ascent to get to the top.
What country did you say?
Azerbaijan. Another one of those stands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's we're a with country?
Ajahn. Yeah. What's that?
That's a country?
Yeah. It's a little tiny one next to the Caspian Sea.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a beautiful country. You know, obviously a very poor country, but we were hunting an animal called tur. It's like a big sheep goat mix. Awesome horn structure. Just really
the
cool
one
animal.
That comes off and
they curl straight back almost. Huh. They don't have any here. Like nobody hardly shoots them, so it's hard to like show somebody what they look like. That was the one like when he's like, "Hey, we're going tur hunting." And I was like, "Tar in New Zealand?" He's like, "No, tur. It's T-U-R." And so I had to Google it. I'm like, looks cool, you know. So that was right next to the Russia border. Crazy experience with the Russian soldiers over there. It was, like, pretty wild. Got off the mountain really quick. Like, their borders are pretty undefined over there, you know. Like,
does Onyx work there?
No, Onyx does not work over there.
They just decide when you're on their
country. Yeah, hey, and it's like, yeah, and, like, if they want to get, yeah.
If they want to be
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, and I don't ever not feel like, worried that I'm like going to prison or something, but there's sometimes you're like, you know, I should probably just leave like this, you know. Yeah. And it's not that you're doing anything illegal, it's just that
you don't want to give them a reason.
I'm a white dude over in what I think is Azerbaijan and they think is Russia, you know. So it's
you just
like,
hurry and check your phone. What's the relationship like between Trump? And,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I'm
let's
gone.
Get out of here.
And
yeah, let's
gone.
Go.
Cancel the hunt. We'll come back next month.
Yeah, so I mean, that was really cool. Just the culture. We got to spend a few days like in Baku, in the main town, which is cool. Met some really cool people. But like, I still love hunting the mainland here for sheep. Sheep are just like the badass of all badass.
That's your thing, huh?
They just get
yeah.
Cheap,
sheep are just cool because you know you're gonna get your ass kicked. You know it's gonna be hard. But you know, like when you finally walk up to a ram, you're like, "That was so worth it."
The most fulfilling.
That was cool. Yeah, like for me, that is the pinnacle. Like some people, are like elk's my pinnacle. This, like the day that I walk up to my own personal ram, will like be the pinnacle of my hunting career. Well, like I got chills saying that. Like the day I walk up to a ram, and I'm like, "I got that." Like that's where I want to get to.
Are you gonna quit right after that?
No, I'll go for all four of them then.
Oh, there you go.
The yeah. Grand we'll go for the Grand Slam. Yeah,
Dallas's wife. She
yeah.
got that tag this year.
Unreal.
Watching that, I was like, oh my
yeah.
gosh. Like, that's
drew that tag with
backyard.
3 points, man. I mean, hey, points. You can't draw if you don't put in.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's like, I mean, my main film career started with Jason, like my first big international, like true mountain hard hunt was a stone sheep in British Columbia, northern British Columbia, and that was like pretty unforgettable. The
weather. Stone sheep are pretty cool.
Yeah, they're the coolest out of all of them by far. Like, I'll take any of them, but stone sheep look the coolest.
Yeah. There's a few stone sheep out in the main hall.
Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah.
And I was, like, right where you
the
applied coats, for the hunt.
Holy
everything's freak.
Unreal,
they're
man.
Huge.
Yeah.
Just coming off yeah. the head, I'm like,
I mean, as far as, like, a thin horn sheep from, like, stone to doll, like, I'm going to choose a stone. Doll are cool, but stone.
Yeah.
Stone, just the capes, the blue in them. Like, mm-hmm. they're just, it's a cool sheep, and they live in beautiful, beautiful places. The weather's unforgiving. It rains, it pours, it snows. It's hot,
like you think elk and deer are tough, like you
yeah,
see where
yeah,
these
you
sheep
know,
live in a little water.
Yeah, I mean, and it all depends on like what kind of situation you've got yourself into. Like I've got myself in bad situations elk hunting, places I probably shouldn't have been.
Well, that
and it sucked just as bad. But yeah. the thing is like, you know, you can get back to the truck that night. You know, sheep hunting, I'm like,
Sheep hunting, you have to do that 100% of the time.
Yeah, I'm like, well, the float plane.
A
yeah,
cave
exactly.
In a foreign land eating.
Yeah. Nobody's coming to hell then. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not making it back.
Question about that.
Yeah.
So is that in these foreign countries, they have some crazy regulations surrounding the meat? Like, does that go back to the people?
No.
Like, why couldn't you eat any of the meat?
Well, we could have. We just didn't, I guess. I don't know. Like,
it wasn't offered.
Yeah, like, I couldn't communicate.
Customs.
With, well, and like, I've ate. Yeah, exactly. Like, you just don't want to, like, interfere with any. And they took everything, right? Like,
like
guts. Like, they had it all.
And did the meat come back with you guys?
Yeah, we took everything back. We just didn't
maybe that's
eat
why.
It. And I don't know why.
I'm starving. Like, there's delicious backstrap, and they're feeding me
genitalia.
You know,
and like, goat is never truly that good. Like, it's pretty gritty. Like, I'll eat it. You know, it's not bad in a burger or spaghetti, but like
fajitas, man. Goat
fajitas. Like, you make a steak out of that, man, you ain't eating it. You know, but at the same time, like, I almost say Nybex sticks.
Your
I
options,
probably would have.
Yeah.
I am so glad you did not eat that.
Yeah.
Because what if you liked it?
Exactly.
Then you come back here and you're like,
yeah,
look
it was
at
good.
That.
Yeah.
And you got to tell
maybe,
your wife. Look at that big bull elk right there. And I'm not talking about his
G4. And maybe I'd have been stronger. They said I was going to be, you know, it'd make me healthy.
What if you liked it and then you came back and then every animal in America, you did the Grand Slam penis test?
Well, it's just like how, what's his name? Meat Eater, Steve Rinella eats that eyeball fat. Man, that can't taste good. You know
he
that can't taste good.
He says
it's full of crap,
tastes
man.
Like, tastes like dough, he said.
And I don't eat raw sourdough, though. Don't taste good to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't eat it because it doesn't taste good.
So
I don't want something to taste like it.
Yeah, yeah. The meat regulations, I mean, honestly, in those foreign countries, there's not much regulation when it comes to it. But the culture, obviously, you know, I mean, that's cool to see. Like, the culture there, everybody's like, you know, you respect the animal and you take the meat back.
Yeah.
And they eat all of it, man. Like, I remember, so finally we made it back to the lodge in Kyrgyzstan, and there's chuckers everywhere. It's like the chucker capital of the world, you know, like thousands of them. So they go out, they shoot some chuckers. I'm like, hey, you can't mess up a chucker meal. Like, this is obviously going to be good. So it took them like 9-10 hours to cook this chucker, and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I'm like, this is the point where I'm literally
starving.
It takes
a long time.
Hangry. Chucker dicks are
small,
man. Small. So I go in there, and they've taken the entire bird. They've maybe shot 9, 10, 12, I don't know. And they take them all, and they got this boiling water, and they just dumped the entire bird, feathers, everything, into this pot. And they're just boiling it. And they boiled and boiled and boiled. And then they bring
it
over.
Down to a marble.
Yes. And then they just get like they, you know, let the water cool down. They pick out the bird, and they just set it on your plate. It's covered in black, tarry feathers because it's been boiled from the bottom. And I'm like, you messed it up. You had one job. Like, that was the easiest thing to not mess up, and you messed up
a
chucker.
It's a bird, man.
Yeah. Jeez. And so then they'd be like, okay, well, tonight's lamb shank. And I'm like, you know, lamb's decent.
I cook?
Can do lamb. Yeah.
They just
so
threw a whole lamb into a pot.
Well, so they take this. They take the whole leg. And they come over, and they get a big old cleaver knife, and they, like, hit it 15 times so it's, like, broken and bones everywhere. And then they just put it in the pot and boil it until the meat falls off. And then they give you the bone.
So they boil
the bone.
Yes.
No meat.
You don't even get to drink the broth, huh?
They don't know what barbecue is?
Yeah.
Roasted.
Seriously. You know, I'm like, guys, let's just throw us a little bit of cracked pepper on it and sear it for 5 minutes, and we'll be good. You know? And so, like, you get this, like, bone with, like, a little tiny bit of meat that you, like, have to, like, pull out your Havilon and chop off. Can't even gut it. And you're like, what is wrong?
And the whole time, you're like, now I know why you guys are all
look
skinny.
At that shirt.
Exactly.
Right, I'm interrupting your podcast. Look at that shirt.
Oh, man, Jared's got the Sheds for Santa shirt on. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like...
makes you smile.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so I've ate good food and I've ate bad food. Azerbaijan was a lot of, like, goat cheese and, like, I called it the puck bread. It looked like a big hockey puck, and it was, like, as solid as one, too. But it was actually pretty good. Put a little bit of salty goat cheese and some jam. They love jam, and then you just... That's what you live on. Because, I mean, we take, you know, freeze-dried meals and stuff, but...
what's the preparation like as far as your camera gear? I mean, batteries, obviously.
Yeah.
But for these hunts where you're going to a super remote place in a foreign land in freezing temperatures, what do you pack
for
that?
So my packing list pretty much stays the same for every hunt, and then it's how you adapt when you get there to what it is. Because we don't go in with a ton of information.
And you don't,
right?
Yeah, you don't know what.
And I didn't know how my camera was going to act in negative 20.
You thought you were going to be in a house in your
cave. Yeah, because I'm like, they're like, oh, no, you'll be able to charge your stuff. You're going to have solar. And then, well, yeah, the cave did not have solar. I have a damn outlet, you know? Like,
the Americans.
Yeah, so, like, I pack the same. So, like, I take everything. I take all my gear. I have about 40 batteries, and I plan on using 2 to 4 a day. So that's anywhere from about 1,000 to 2,000 pictures plus video.
Jeez.
Now, not saying I always take that much, but that's what I like to try to plan on.
Yeah.
Right. So I try to plan on 4 batteries a day. Lenses, I've just got, you know, an assortment from wide to long lenses. The phone scope's a key part of what we use because, you know, a lot of it's long distance rifle hunting as far as 400, 500, 600 yards where cameras just don't get the best video.
Do you take, as far as your lenses, mostly primes or you got zooms?
Both. I've got a prime that it's like, it's a 50, and it's like my favorite, man. I've taken some wicked pictures with that, and it was like a kit lens, too. You know,
really?
I mean, it just came with the camera, and I'm like, I love this lens, and I do so much. I do all my weddings and product and everything with that lens, and all my kill photos and stuff all comes from that. And then I have a 16 to 35 wide that's like pretty useful as far as the filming aspect. The 50 I hardly ever film on. And then I have a 70 to 200, which honestly doesn't leave my pack that much unless, like, the animal's 100 yards away and I need to get video of it. If it's within 50 to 100, I'll pull out that. If not, the phone scope comes out.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and it's just how you adapt when you get there. Like, I remember we got out and I start filming in Kyrgyzstan. It's freezing cold and I keep the batteries on the very inside pocket of like 15 layers, you know, so I feel like they keep pretty warm. I put it in the thing and it's at full battery and I'm filming and I'm just watching the battery drop and about 45 seconds later it dies.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
like, oh, this is going to be bad. So what we would do is we'd build a little fire like under the tripod or something like that to like just keep enough heat that like as we're doing an interview or something, the camera would stay running. So, like, it was getting bad, like, to the point, I try to film as much possible, you know, like, anything, but then this time it's like, we're selectively filming because we'll run out of batteries. Mm-hmm. It's like, we won't film unless it's perfect condition, like, has to be filmed.
Yeah.
Because we would have just flat out run out of batteries. It was just too cold.
Have you ever, and I don't know if anyone's done this probably, but, and it might not work in a foreign country, but have you ever tried, like, those hand warmers? Those
we duct tape them, we've done everything.
Does that work?
Yeah, I mean, anything you can do to just put a little bit of heat back into your battery will help. But it's just, sometimes it's just too damn cold.
So, I mean, obviously it's different from hunt to hunt, but on average, what would you say your camera gear weighs? Like, how much of your pack?
My camera gear alone is 27 pounds. And then you add gear on top of that. And I take a pretty hefty sleeping bag because it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not carrying a 2 pound sleeping bag. I have about 4.5, 5 pound sleeping bag. Tents usually aren't an issue. I run the QU2P and a lot of these hunts, like we hardly ever do a true backpacking hunt, right? Like we've got horses and stuff.
Takes your stuff in. But.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're hardly ever like truly living off of our backs. And if it did, like my pack would probably be around 70, I would guess. But my average everyday hiking pack, by the time I add water, my dry gear, my super down, like, cause I always, no matter if it's 110, I will have my Yukon rain gear and my, super down pants and top because in the worst situation, if I'm stuck out and don't have a sleeping bag, I can put that on and I'll survive the night. And it's happened several times where I've just been like, we're not making it back to camp, put on the puffy, put on the rain gear and lay down, you know? So average weight pack hiking throughout the day is probably 35 to 38 pounds, I'd assume.
With your camera gear?
With camera gear, with, you know, a
necessities.
Couple jackets, and I usually throw a couple, you know, salt pills and something that's like
Snicker bars.
Carb. Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, like, Snicker bars truly are, like, any kind of candy bar truly is, like, I'll eat those over a candy bar, or over a protein bar any day. It's quick, it's instant, they actually taste decent, they don't taste like chalk. Yeah. And nobody wants, I mean, I don't want to gut down a Cliff Bar on the side of the mountain. I just rather eat a Snickers bar. And it's just about, at that point, putting calories into your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're burning that fast.
Yeah, and you'll never catch up on a hunt. You'll never catch up with the amount of calories you're burning, but you can at least help it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when I had my archery elk tag, I was, like, living on the mountain. I spent 15 total days, not in a row, you know, but of the 30-day archery season.
Yeah.
And I lost, like, 16 pounds.
Yeah.
My pants, I was like cinching them up, and they're still feeling like I was wearing JNCOs or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're burning 5,000 to 7,000 calories a day, easy.
Easy.
You know? And you can't eat that.
No.
But I've noticed I've had to like consciously force myself to eat. I'm not hungry, but I'm like,
I have burned
the calories. I'm not going to make it back up the mountain.
Yeah, salt pills have been good for me just because
I mean,
you sweat that out, and it just adds that a little bit of extra. You know,
I gotta try that out.
Just put nutrients back in your body.
I just take a Gatorade bottle in the bag, even though it's extra
yeah.
water or extra weight, you know. But just the flavor of electrolytes is a huge morale boost.
See, dude, and my thing is a Tang. I love Tang. Yeah. And make it in this like little squirt, you know, like how you
A drop. Mio or what?
Yeah, like a Mio drop's kind of like that, but it's Tang. So I take that. Because a lot of the times we're like drinking out of rivers or water that's not necessarily the best.
Yeah.
And just mentally, it's tough for me sometimes to drink like just the straight water. But if I dump some Tang in there, lights out, I'll drink it all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, I've drank some sketchy water before, but Tang cures everything. And it's so light because you're not – and the good thing about those is it fills 15 bottles. Instead of me just carrying one bottle of Tang, and then when it's out, it's out.
Yeah.
I'll go on a sheep hunt, and I've got two of those little Tang things that will fill me 30 bottles of water.
That's cool.
There's probably no nutrient value to it, but just the, there's morale. Something about having a flavor to it.
Yeah, it helps.
It
helps a lot.
I mean, it's no Coke, but it'll do. So, yeah.
What do you think your most memorable hunt is?
Oh, man. My next
that's
one?
Hard to pick.
Your next one.
You know, I mean, I just look forward to the next one. Like,
that's a good answer.
Like Steve always says, too, like, my favorite places are the places I've never been. You know, like, I can't wait to go somewhere where it's like, all right, this is cool. Yeah. This is new to me. And this is somewhere where probably not that many people will come back to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got a Spain trip coming up. That one's going to be really, really fun. More of a laid-back style hunt. It is an ibex hunt, but you're kind of living up with the ibex the way that Europe's laid out. So it'll be cool. I'm really excited about that one. I've got a Russia and a Pakistan trip coming up later this year. That like Russia, ever since we had like the mix with the Russian army and that big scare, I'm like, nah, I want to go there. Why were they so protective? What's on the other side of that?
What were you hiding?
Yeah, you know, like, let's go. So now we're going. I don't know. Like, as far as, like, a truly what's been my most memorable hunt, I mean, besides the ones, obviously, like, with my family and stuff, this year I took my little girl out. She's 3 years old. She wanted to go hunting with Dad, so we went hunting. Put her on my backpack. Archery shot a deer, like, 13 yards. Saw the whole thing. Like was with
she
me.
Was on your back then?
Yeah, on the back.
That's like, the coolest.
Yeah. So stuff like that's like obviously most memorable. Like as far as like my job hunts, man, I don't know. Bear hunting's just cool. I love bear hunting in British Columbia. Like that's my – and obviously that's not like the craziest hunt I've ever done, but it's just with good people and it's good fun and good dogs and cool bears.
The experience.
And, yeah, it is. It's just a true experience. Like I look forward to that hunt every single year.
Yeah.
Like, and I just, like, I'm already just, like, itching to get back up there. You know, that's Ryan's cool. One of my great friends, and he just got attacked by a grizzly bear this last fall. And I'm like,
what?
Freak, dude. You know, and he's our outfitter. And I'm like, man, it scares the piss out of me that, not that he doesn't want a bear hunt, just that I almost lost my guide. You know, like, I'm like, dude, we got more bears to hunt, you know. And, and he's freaking grittier than nails, so, which is cool. So
you hang out with some pretty crazy characters. You talked about Steve a second ago, and just I don't know Steve.
Yeah.
I have never met the guy, but just watching like your stories and his stories, dude, he takes you guys some pretty insane places on mules. Like,
yeah.
You guys are literally rock climbing.
Yeah.
On the back of an animal.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like,
our motto is
this guy's for real?
Yeah, I mean, our motto when we go out is if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough because you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we try not to, obviously. But no, Steve is a good definition of living life to the fullest. Like, he will take any situation, be like, let's just go. Like, we can make it. We can do it. And even though I'm like, no, we're not, and we don't, we still try. You know, like, I look at him and be like, no, dude, that's freaking crazy. And he's like, well, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve's drug me around on mules. I mean, I've always been a horse guy, just grown up around him with him and rode him and roped a little and messed around with that kind of stuff. But, no, Steve's, like, definitely pushed me to, like, there's some times where I'm like, I'm puckered up right now. This is bad. And, dude, them mules are just a different level of animals and pulls through. And it takes us to some wicked cool places. We found a lot of horn off the back of them. We had a lot of good memories. You know, there's nothing better than sitting around a campfire just beat to death. Mules are out eating. You just got horns scattered around. Like,
that's
just
cool.
That stuff I look forward to. You know, just go. And we go to places that nobody goes to. You know, nobody's hiking in there. Nobody's stupid enough to take a mule in there.
Yeah.
And we just
go. You guys are.
We just find, I mean, I just remember, like, sometimes we come up to a cliff face. I'm like, dude, you literally can't get a mule up that. And he's like, watch. And undoubtedly, you know, whether it takes a 6-mile loop, at some point in time, some crazy ass other cowboy has made his way up that cliff and we'll find that trail. And we just call them old cowboy trails. We just go until you find an old cowboy trail. And you find that, and you just pucker your way up to the top of it. You know? That's so, yeah, awesome. I mean, it's cool. Steve's a good example of just, like, living.
He reminds me of, like, yeah, like, truly, like, a cowboy or almost a, like, an old trapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he reminds
old
me of.
Soul,
like, so just, gritty. Like, he just doesn't – he's going to do what he wants to do.
Yeah. Nothing fazes him, and it's just, like – yeah, I mean
I don't remember where I heard the story. Dallas was telling it, but he talked about he and Steve went up to Jackson Hole for the opener of the Shed Hunt.
Yeah.
And they went out at midnight, 12:01, whatever, on horseback.
Yeah.
And they had to cross the river. And Dallas is like, I was freaking out, like puckered up. Steve's ahead of me. I can't even see him. The river's raging. The horse starts drifting down the stream. Yeah. And he's like, I was scared. I thought we were going to drown. And then the guy behind him tried to cross, and his horse drowned.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. And Steve leads it off. I mean, this is literally Steve at midnight at the Jackson Hole thing. Pulls out his pistol, shoots his gun twice, and runs across that river. And that river is, I mean, it's not like the little Provo River.
No.
This is a raging torrent river. You know, I mean, they shut it down now. It's so dangerous. And he led it every year. And what makes it so dangerous, like you get to the other side, and horses will swim, obviously. But the way the river comes down, it makes a sharp 90 at about 100 yards from where you cross. And against that 90 is a cliff. And so you've got all those back eddies. So if your horse goes into that, you're both done. So you've got about a 30-yard pace or place to get across. So your horse is going to drift down 30 yards. If you get past that, you're not getting up. And you're in trouble. And it's midnight, so it's dark.
Yeah.
So, and then you hit the bank, and it's not a gradual bank. It is a cliff almost. So you have to find a place for your horse to scramble and get up on top. And I have never done it. I mean, I will. If it were to open and Steve said, let's go, I'd probably find enough courage somewhere to go do it. But, like, he took me to the spot last year and was like, yeah, this is where that horse drowned. I'm like, you cross this. And he's like, every year for 10 years. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm surprised you're alive. You know, he's like, that was fun every time.
You saying you want to do it or would do it, is that you trusting Steve or, like, is that...
No, I don't trust Steve. No, hell no. He'll take me to some bad spot.
It's straight peer pressure.
Yeah, it's 100% peer pressure, and like, I will not be beat.
The experience.
Yeah, you know, like that video that kind of went viral of me jumping that cliff with the horse.
Yeah.
Steve just did it. Like, we were pulling up, and 15 feet to the side was a pretty easy way up there.
Yeah. He's like, no.
And I'm like, he's like, dude,
that's
watch
the
this.
Cool
the horse
way up,
should
though.
Go. And I could have very easily went that way, but you know, there's the inner man, and I'm like, I can't be beat. And in the video, when you get to the top, he's like, how was that, cowboy? And I was like, pretty good. And he's like, if you're gonna be dumb, you better be tough. And I'm like, yep, because that could have went real bad,
south real quick.
You know, so no,
oh,
I mean, we've been on some cool adventures together. Steve's given me a lot of cool opportunities, led me into the hunting industry. So
that's awesome.
That's cool, guy.
It's really fun to follow you guys. I mean, everybody, Steve. You, Dallas, the experience pages.
Appreciate it.
You guys are always doing neat stuff, and it's you're always checking in to see what's the next crazy adventure.
Yeah, we try to keep it pretty. Yeah, I mean, Steve is just an absolute riot.
We need to get him on here.
Oh, he'll be here. You can't miss him with his beard now. Can't miss him. Every time we fly somewhere, he gets stopped every time. And I'm like, dude, you look like the freaking Taliban. Yeah, he puts a ball cap on. I'm like, dude, you look a little sketchy now.
Was it this last year that he posted that picture of him the last time he was clean shaven?
Yeah.
He doesn't even look like the guy I know.
In fact,
two swords.
I went up there to work. We had to unload a trailer, and he always brings in people to help us, and he had clean shaven that day. I'd never seen him without it. So I'm like loading the trailer, and I'm like, who's this dude helping me? I haven't seen this guy before. And then he like talked, and I was like, what? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, dude, you look like a thumb. Like, what are you doing, man? You scared me. Yeah. No, pretty cool guy. Yeah, we live a pretty fun life. I mean, it's still a normal life, but we live a fun life.
That's cool, man.
So, good attitude.
Yeah. That's way cool. Where can people find out about your companies?
Yeah, I mean, everything's kind of based off my personal page, just Sawyer Ted on Instagram. And then the Threads Box is Outdoor Threads Box. We keep it pretty simple. And then the Experience is where all of my filming content is released. That's a YouTube channel, Instagram page. We try to put about 2 films a month out. We try to do like a fairly high quality film,
You have some great stuff.
Yeah,
it's, dude, watching David Leonard's taking a bow to a gunfight.
Yeah, it was an unreal hunt, and I showed up for the last day. You know,
like, dude, some of it, like audio visual, you know, appeal definitely like makes the thing. But like the audio clarity in that,
unreal.
And like hearing those bulls bugle, it's like they're right in your face.
Dallas like creamed that film, like just unreal. And Devin's awesome. Like a stud to be behind the camera. Like it's so fun to film him because he's very like into it and. Like true passion, and it definitely shows through the film.
Yeah.
So
awesome. The Threads box.
You
got two different options when you're doing a monthly subscription.
Yep. Well, small box and big box. Keep it simple again.
What's the difference?
You know? So your small box runs $15.95, and it'll just come with one t-shirt or one item a month. Mm-hmm. We try to do, you know, anywhere from small companies to large companies, companies you haven't heard of, companies you have heard of, just t-shirts. We use pretty good quality next level t-shirts, you know, kind of industry standard right now. So every month you'll get that box. If you choose the big box option, we go anywhere from 2 to 4 items. It's usually just stuck right around 3. So it'll be like 2 shirts and a hat, 2 shirts. And like this month was Hoof It socks. Next month we'll be doing like a Mountain Ops kind of shaker bottle style. So, you know, so we try to kind of mix it up a little bit. But like our standard is 2 shirts and a hat. So,
yeah.
And every month's just like Christmas.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Every month.
You know? So we're pretty excited. We're going to have our shirts in the box coming up in March.
Yep.
Way stoked. Excited about that.
Yeah, it'll be it's going to be one of the coolest boxes we've had. Like I say that every month, I'm like, this is the coolest box.
But
like,
keep topping yourself.
Next month's box, I'm so stoked about. We're going to do an epic giveaway with Chad Mendez for anybody that enters with the box. They'll get your guys' t-shirt, followed up with like some Mountain Ops stuff. So it's going to be like really cool. And it's just going bigger. We've got some sweet hunt giveaways where we'll be taking you with us. Bear hunting, deer hunting,
dude,
stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
I want to win.
It'll be cool. Yep. Better and it's
up.
Easy, man. All you got, I mean, it's like a $15 raffle ticket a month.
How much do people spend on a raffle?
Exactly. I mean, I spent $100 last night and I didn't win any. You know, I had a better chance winning my own company's raffle. it'll be cool. Yeah, exactly. So no, it's going to be a fun year. We're pretty excited with the growth and where we're going and what we have planned out. So.
Cool. That's awesome. So outdoorsthreadsbox.com.
Yep.
So you can go sign up. Sadly, this won't air before your show special.
It's fine.
But jump on
but
there.
It's on.
You can use our code.
Yeah,
Sawyer,
give you 10% off.
Set us up a code. So use SAHN at checkout. You can save yourself 10% off of a subscription. So do it. Seriously, if you like t-shirts with cool stuff
on them. Yeah,
and
it's just fun, man. Like, it's just fun. And
it's great.
It's not like... Like some subscriptions, and I'm subscribed to some awesome ones that my friends own, but I've been subscribed to some other ones, and I call it like junk drawer stuff. You know, they send me stuff. You're like, ah, that's cool, but I'm never going to use it.
No, you got good stuff.
Yeah, so we just, it's simple. Everybody wears t-shirts.
That's the thing. As a dude, I'm not out like t-shirt shopping.
Yeah, exactly. This is the only place I ever buy them, right?
Yeah.
I'm here
but now
at the
I get them every month.
Yeah, exactly.
You just pick.
And I always tell people, like, well, should I do big box or small? I'm like, well, it's totally up to you, but like, honestly, me, I'd probably just do the small box. It's a good place to start, and you can always upgrade if you want. It's 15 bucks a month.
15 bucks for a t-shirt's not bad.
You spend that on a mocha latte bullshit at Starbucks, you know? Like, so, yeah. I mean,
there are some awesome quotes in this podcast.
That's my favorite.
It's going to be great to re-listen to this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, 15 bucks a month, you get, you know, box any of it's kind of fun, and sometimes we include, like, discount codes or some extra stuff, some snacks, whatever. So, it's cool. Yeah.
Great.
Sign up.
Awesome.
Got anything else for Sawyer?
Not at the moment, man. I do not.
We'll have to do round two.
Yeah, we'll just come back tomorrow and restart.
Yeah, bring Steve with you.
Yeah. We'll come back and we'll just tell stories.
Yeah, dude, that's
the best. Awesome.
I'll get Steve. We got some cool shed on your stories, man.
I like doing informational, you know, how to whatever stuff. But, dude, the ones that get
true
you are
stories.
The stories.
Yeah.
Ian and I, when we started talking about doing a podcast, we were driving to go hunt this bull.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, maybe we should dabble into this podcast. His brother-in-law was doing one about
cars and
cars. Yeah,
motorcycles.
What was it called?
I forget, man.
It was something about stock is for squares.
Oh yeah,
hilarious. You know, they had this huge following all around the freaking world, and we're like, you know, the best kind of podcast, like it's where you're sitting in the back of the truck and like just eavesdropping on the conversation up here.
Yeah,
100%.
That's what we wanted to do. So stories, that's where it's at.
100%.
Love it.
Yeah, we'll come talk.
That's the kind of podcast I like. Listen to at work. Just get lost in stories all day at work.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I don't like being told what to do. So like, okay, you need to do this. I'm like, stop.
That's where I draw the line.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, right on, man.
Thanks, Sawyer.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Great.